In the year that I was ordained to the ministry, at the end of the 1970s, the Church of Scotland had over 1 million members. Today, that figure is significantly below 400,000. Year on year, throughout my time in ministry, church attendance has declined. Fewer and fewer young people find their way into our pews. And you could argue that my generation of ministers has been asleep on the watch. In the latest figures published by the Registrar General for Scotland, the number of weddings conducted by humanist celebrants last year exceeded for the first time the number of weddings conducted by Church of Scotland ministers. I have to tell you that when I came into ministry, nothing but nothing would have led me to believe that we were on the verge of such a sea change in society. As a minister in the west of Scotland, you not only conducted weddings week in and week out, it was considered an expectation that you would attend the wedding reception and you would act as master of ceremonies at the top table. To refuse the invite of the family, whether they were church members or not, was considered an insult. I'm delighted to be conducting the services today in order to allow Marianne to attend the wedding fair which is happening in the Glen Pavilion. She's gone there to remind couples who may be thinking of getting married that the church is theirs, that the church is open, and that there is an open invitation to include God in the most special event of their life. 40 years ago, I could not ever have imagined having to go to a wedding fair to encourage people to think about getting married in the church. What has happened? And what is to become of us in the next 40 years, or dare I say, in the next 10 years? For I will not be around to savour as many as 4 more decades. Well, what has happened is that society has changed beyond recognition. And it may be that we as a church should be deeply regretting the day and hour that we became a membership organization. For as soon as you begin to count numbers on a register, as soon as you make people carry attendance cards, and as soon as you organise yourself in the shape of a club, you leave yourself open to be measured by the indicators of club success, money in the bank, for us boys in the BB, your children in the Sunday school. And when these things start to drift, so too does morale and purpose and popularity, and one thing follows after another. There's another reason that I wish we had never become a denomination that counted numbers. It is because as soon as you do, you imply that some people belong and some people don't. Now, don't get me wrong, the Church of Scotland was at its strongest, and some would say at its best, in the post-war decades. This was when all membership organisations were strong and were doing well. Then, there was no 24/7 shopping or entertainment. There was no internet, and there were few choices in life. So there was a waiting list to join the golf club and the Rotary. Football terraces on a Saturday afternoon were full. The trade unions were at their strongest. People joined things. The Conservative Party had seats in Scotland. It was a different world. It was a different world, and it was one in which our membership model of church fitted like a glove. But it doesn't fit now. The fastest growing communities today are online. People are sceptical of institutions. The institutions across the board have lost their place in society. People don't trust them anymore. Dishonesty, lack of integrity have made sure of that. But women and men are still looking for purpose, still looking for an authentic spiritual dimension to their lives. But they are not, by and large, looking for a membership institution which simply does not ring their bell. A friend of mine describes the church as a trellis through which the spiritual life of individuals should be allowed to grow. Sadly, he says, we spend too much time talking about and tending to the trellis than we do talking about and tending to our spiritual life. Now, to hear me talk like this, you may be expecting me to tell you in the next breath that the Church of Scotland is all but finished. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying, however, that we have to reinvent ourselves. We have to step outside of ourselves and see ourselves in a different light and open ourselves to being a different kind of community, an inclusive community that isn't obsessed by or defined by the number of card-carrying members. Here are two or three things to think about. At the last census in 2011, 53.8% of Scots identified themselves with the Christian faith. 32.4% of Scots, that's a third of the population, identified themselves with the Church of Scotland. Let me tell you, these people belong. They belong to the faith. They're just not on our books, and they may not be here this morning. Young people today are more passionate about peace and justice and equality than they have ever been. And we need to get them on board and allow them to feel part of this community that believes in these things and is, in fact, the bedrock of these things. We need to stop talking numbers. And instead, we need to let the people of Scotland know that they already belong to God and that the church belongs to them. Places like this abbey, for instance, need to become known as places that belong to the whole community. I have heard too many sermons, and I've preached some of them myself in the past, which were aimed at those who never come to church. What is that about? All we do when we do that is signal to the world that we believe there is an us and a them. We send out the signal that somehow or another, those who are sitting here faithfully, we belong to God, but the others don't. Or at best, they have a very tenuous hold on God. And we need to remember this, that none of us has a hold on God at all. It is God who has a hold on us, all of us. We have lazily accepted the ancient traditions which paint God as the separator of sheep and goats, as the stern judge, rather than God who is the ground of all our being, the root of unconditional love, the source of undeserved grace and of unmerited forgiveness. The one of whom Jeremiah says, "Before we were formed in the womb, God knew us. And before we were born, God created us." That is such a wonderful, wonderful verse. And it's not a verse that describes church members. It's a verse that assumes a relationship with God, and it brooks no sense that there are formal steps that have to be taken to establish such a relationship. It places the idea of a membership institution in the realm of the absurd. Instead, we discover that we are members of a deeply related community, a deeply related humanity. It is related and founded in God, who, before we were formed in the womb, knew us. And before we were born, consecrated us all. For long enough, skeptics would take a verse like this, which implies some kind of pre-existence, and they would tell you, it makes no sense. But you know this, today, a scientist would tell you that the material which has gone into the formation of everything in the universe, and that every chemical that allows you to live and breathe, and indeed the foundation of your DNA, was thrown into being more than 13.8 billion years ago, in the first split second of what we call time. And if we believe that, and we believe in a God behind that, then there is a perfect logic behind the idea that we were gods from the beginning and we will be gods to the end. And the great sin of the church is that we have dabbled with turning it into an exclusive club. The gospel reading today is a wonderful example of Jesus challenging the old ways of thinking. In the story, Jesus puts the person, the woman, with the lifelong ailment before the dogma, which was the law about the use of the Sabbath. And most of us know that there are many old dogmas which were understandable in their time, but which now have to be laid to rest. And one of them is about the way in which we categorize believers and the way in which we ration the grace of God, when in fact the grace of God cannot be rationed. God's grace nourishes the inner lives of people who aren't on our membership list and who don't appear on our annual statistical returns. The trick for us is to find new ways, many of them outside of Sunday morning, for them to share this space and for them to benefit from belonging to a community of fellow travelers and fellow disciples. And if we begin to think like that, then it leads us to think seriously about how we support people on their spiritual journey within the widest possibility, the widest possible definition of the family and fellowship and community, which is the reach of the Church of Scotland and the nature of the Church of Jesus Christ. One size does not fit all. The modern day seeker needs to find help, to find their spiritual experience, the one that meets their needs, and they need to be able to access worship, learning and prayer 24/7. Same way as you can access Tesco. The future is one of deeply committed disciples who might not come to church on a Sunday morning, but need to be recognized as belonging to the community of faith. There are many ways of thinking about this. But one of them, just one of them, and one of the tools for this is now quite literally in our hand. A whole new generation of people cannot be separated from their smartphones and tablets. See them walking along the street, never looking up, always looking down. In these, there is the power to help sustain people on their spiritual journey and nourish their inner life. Every day for a whole year as moderator, a friend of mine sent me a biblical text by text. I waited for it every day. It kept me grounded. Earlier this year, the Church of Scotland opened its first online church, and it's offering a spiritual push to your phone every day. Download the app. The people who are responsible for that are live streaming this afternoon's wedding from the Abbey to India. Already dozens of churches are live streaming their services or making their worship available to download at whatever time you want to listen. We do that here in the Abbey. Each day of life, I get Father Richard Rohr's meditation sent to me. And each morning, I read the Player's Devotional, which is sent out courtesy of the USPGA. Before I reach the office, I've gained some new insight, been challenged by some new thought, or even been galvanized by some interpretation of Scripture with which I do not agree. But it's part of the experience of spiritual growth in this new age. Experience of God, you see, is not limited to members of the club. It's much more inclusive than that. And those of us who are comfortable with the way it is and who love it the way it is are just going to have to brace ourselves for the changes that lie ahead, like them or not. And who knows, we might not just brace ourselves. We might, in fact, embrace the changes that are up ahead, for they may even lead to our spiritual renewal and growth and fulfillment. Amen.